City of Blythe, Cathedral City, City of Coachella,
here.
City of Desert Hot Springs, Indian Wells, Indio,
here.
La Quinta, Palm Desert,
here.
Palm Springs, absent, Rancho Mirage,
here.
Riverside County Waste Management District,
here.
Okay, we just need one more for the quorum.
Okay, thank you. Dorinda, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
Okay, 2-1-2. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment. This is the time and place for any person wishing to address the Solid Waste and Recycling Technical Working Group on items not appearing on the agenda. We don't have any requests. Does anyone have any public comment? Okay. Committee member and director comments. A round table. Want to go around really quickly and tell us what you're up to?
You bet. Rancho Mirage, we are... We're putting together, or we're holding a shredding event, an e-waste collection event on May 7th at our city library. And pretty much everything is the same that we've done before at 9 a.m. to noon. And we should get very good turnout there. And that's really what we're up to right now.
Great, thank you.
You bet.
This weekend on Saturday from 8 to 2:30, we will have our annual neighborhood cleanup. I believe part of that is our tire amnesty program. So anyone that has any tires or from any of the communities can bring them and drop them off as part of the cleanup. And then we also have a shredding event on Friday and Saturday, May 7th and 8th, from, and I think it's like 7:30 to 11 or 12 o'clock, 7:30 to 11:30. We'll be here at the Civic Center for our residents and businesses. And that's it.
Thank you.
The city of Coachella had, this past March 26th, a cleanup event at Rancho Las Flores Park. The next event will be May 14th, but I think in between that there is a household hazardous waste event, April something. Hey, what is the schedule?
I think it's the 23rd.
April 23rd.
Okay, and that's also going to be a shred event as well. And so there are these neighborhood cleanup events planned throughout in addition to what the county provides. That's it.
Indio also has a shred event coming up on May 14th, and then the Riverside County will hold a household hazardous waste event May 20 and 21st. And we also did apply for the household hazardous waste grant funds again, but we did that knowing that the county would support us in those efforts, so thank you for that. So we'll see how that goes. That's all we have going on at Indio.
Okay. CVEG is just ongoing with the entire events, trying to coordinate with the cities. That's pretty much it from us.
Do you know how those have been turning out?
They've been so far on par. We had a good event at Indio. The rest have been kind of just on par so far.
Same as last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not exceeding, but not really subpar, so that's good. Mm-hmm. One question I did want to throw to the committee to see what they feel about it is, since we get such little turnout at these meetings, do we think that it would improve turnouts if we combine our working group, our DSEP working group meetings with TWIG on the same days? Because a lot of the members are, you know, the representatives for both meetings.
I don't know anything about the other side.
Yeah. I don't know. I wanted to throw it out to see what you guys might think of
Well, I think you need to, what is the other meeting? I don't even know
the other is a, our Desert Cities Energy Partnership, where we focus on energy and
that's sustainability. That's the E&E meeting?
Yeah, the E&E. Well, not the E&E. It's a Desert Cities Energy Partnership working group, where we have members of each city. It would be what Tony Bogato used to go to, since he's gone now, though. But we're starting to get more and more into combining programs, or programs that household hazardous waste and stuff like that is now showing energy savings. You know, they're kind of starting to slowly commingle, and water savings and stuff like that. So I just wanted to kind of throw it out there to see what you guys thought. It would help maybe to have those meetings on the same day consecutively or something.
Well, it would be fine for me because I go to both of those meetings. I don't know how it would help the other cities that don't have that same person or same staff member going to each of them.
I know Coachella has two different members. Usually Maritza comes to these, and I think Jacob goes to the Desert Cities Energy Partnership meetings, but I don't know if there's a way that they could coordinate, you know, sharing the load or something if one of them can't make it. You know what I mean? That's right. A lot of the times we don't get the turn on because somebody can't make it from a schedule, and then they can't send anybody in their place. So I'd like to see more turnout, but it's really hard right now.
And I did reach out to Deanna Presgrove, and she couldn't make it today and didn't have an alternate. And also, La Quinta had confirmed that they would be here today.
Anyways, it's just something I was hoping that we could just see what you guys thought about it, because we have an issue with low turnout.
I'd be fine with it. It's just, you know, as long as there's enough, you know, similar items that it makes sense to have two meetings in one. Otherwise, you know, half the group's going to be sitting there, you know.
Well, exactly, and we talked about that, too. And if that were the case, we could still like separate the meeting on the agenda, saying cover household hazardous waste stuff first, so that those people that don't know anything about Desert Cities Energy Partnerships can, you know, take off after that if they want. But then those people that do the combined, you know, like Sarah, that go to both of them can just stay. It might make it easier in the planning and the day.
I think the only way that really works is that if the cities go back and see if they can have the same representative be
assigned.
Otherwise, I don't see it as working.
Is it really helpful?
Okay. I mean, it pretty much has to be the same. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they commingle. Sometimes you have the same person, or those things don't really have a person. So the person that is on this committee or on the other committee could logically step in. And,
All right.
Keep, that's all my comments. Thank you. Okay, item number 6 of the consent calendar. We're going to go. Oh, yes.
Just one more thing, Tony Riverside. I brought with me some extra books. These are binders from the California Used Oil Recycling Program. The binders I have remaining are ones that may help you, for those of you that are still doing your used oil program, to work with your local certified collection centers. These are the large change, the Craven, the AutoZone. Those are already managed through their corporate offices, but these can help the local jurisdictions working with their smaller mom-and-pop businesses that need to have the used oil certified collection center information in a binder. So these are here. They're over here in a box. Help yourself.
Thanks, Janet. I apologize for almost going past you there.
No, okay.
Number 6 is the consent calendar. We're not going to vote on that today. So item number 7, presentation on Riverside County's backyard composting program. Janet Moreland, Riverside County Department of Waste Resources.
Thank you. And I've got some handouts if you want to follow along.
Not today.
Great. No, that's is Janet Moreland. I'm with Riverside County Department of Waste Resources. I'm a recycling specialist there. And with me today is George Podolsky. He is our volunteer service coordinator. I've come out here to talk to you about the backyard composting program. Not to give you a presentation on composting, but just to tell you about the kind of the life of our program and give you a little bit of history. The program started in 1993, and it was part of the Source Reduction Recycling Element programs. It originally started in 93 with staff members going out and doing the backyard composting workshop presentation, and they soon found out that they needed some support. They couldn't do all the workshops all by themselves and sell the bins and all that, so they started a volunteer program in 1994. And that's actually when I came into the program. I came started with the program as a volunteer. Currently, the program, we do countywide workshops teaching residents how to compost, and we're doing 5 workshops per district. So that's how we divide out our program. Every other year, we'll do we alternate between the community of ANZA, which we've had some participation in, and also Blythe. Blythe, sometimes we have people show up and sometimes we don't. So a yearly basis, really, we wanted to change that up a little bit and do it every other year. So far, since the program began, we've done 590 workshops. 14,000 people have attended the workshops, and we've sold 11,000 bins. Our average attendance at the workshops for years has been about 25 per workshop, and it is waning. We're down to, I think our average so far this year has been 11 per workshop. At the workshops, we also sell low-cost compost bins that are subsidized by the landfill fees that we collect at the landfill. So currently, the bin we're selling is a geo bin, and we sell that one for $12. Normally, it's about $30, plus you'd have to pay for your shipping if you were to purchase it. And the idea behind that is to get a tool into the hands of the local residents, and we figured the price point of $11 is being subsidized down to $11 makes that bin very affordable to local residents. You can't buy the hardwire cloth at the local hardware stores to try and make a replacement bin. The volunteer master composter training program, we do train our volunteers usually, I think our schedule has been every other year. And we usually do a 6-week training program with the volunteers that want to become master composters. So they attend a training class on Sunday or Saturdays from 7:30 to 2:30. And for 6 Saturdays, during that time, they're building compost bins. They're studying how the material breaks down. We're testing different bins. We're testing different methods of composting, fast composting, slow composting. We're studying how different materials break down. So they're getting a real good background on how the composting works, hot composting and cold composting. We also do vermicomposting, where the volunteers are building their own worm bin and operating that. Oh, I wish my images were bigger, but we've expanded the program over the last 2 years to include the vermicomposting presentation along with every workshop. The first hour presentation is on composting, and then the second hour is on vermicomposting. We found a lot of people were interested in the vermicomposting because they may have lived in condominiums, trailer parks, or facilities where they don't have the green waste, the yard waste that a homeowner would have, from their regular turf and everything. So the vermicomposting works really well with that. We all eat food, and that's one way they have waste that they can, put into that program and still have a recycling program. We've also started a make-your-own worm bin class. This is where local residents, and that's the image that you see here. This is at our facility, and the residents bring their containers, and they get to, we hand-walk them through building a worm bin and making the worm bin and the drilling and drainage. And they have a first half of the presentation is how to care for their worms. And then along with this class, after they get their worm bin completed, they'll harvest our worms from our bins. And so they get that worm harvesting experience to be able to use those worms to start their own worm bin. And they're basically starting the bedding for those worm bins as shredded up newspaper, so it's another way to recycle newspaper while they're there. At our facility, when we do our workshops, we're able to demonstrate piled building just at our Moreno Valley workshop site. Everybody says, I wish we had more hands-on opportunities to learn how to build these compost piles. And most of the libraries and the water districts and the city facilities that we go to don't want us to bring in the leaves and grass and the food waste and build a pile in their conference room. Just not going to happen. But we've had really good responses from the residents that actually come out to the workshops at our facility and get to see the piles being built. So they really get that a better hands-on experience. We do most of our promotion for our workshops and our classes through news releases, which we have had really good success out here in the desert area, so we didn't know if maybe you had some good tips on how to do that. We send flyers to all the jurisdictions. We send flyers to some of the host locations for the workshops. We do an annual schedule sent out to jurisdictions, community centers, libraries, water districts, recreation districts, and other community organizations. At this point, our department does not have an advertising budget to promote our programs, so we do it the hard way, the free way. I know a lot of you have probably linked to our website, but we always encourage local jurisdictions or anybody to do a link to the workshop to get the most current information. We actually have staff in our office where we're constantly updating the website, so we can usually get updates and changes in there really quickly. One of our engineers, she's real good at being able to take some of the old links and carry them through. So if we do have a URL change or something like that, we can still carry through the old information for at least a year until we get everybody up to speed and changing those links if they had a link from their website. And we also promote the information on our recycling hotline, which is available 24/7. Help is needed to promote our workshops, classes, and volunteer training in the Coachella Valley. Again, through our link on our website. On our website, we have information on the program, and then we also have PDFs, individual PDFs that we've built for each of the workshops, so that if you have a workshop that's just in your jurisdiction and that's the only one you want to link to and promote, you can just do a link to that workshop or put it on your calendar, and all the information is on that flyer. So if a lot of times you spill out onto a page that has all the whole schedule and it gets confusing for people and they get lost, but you could either link to that schedule or maybe link to the one event that may be in your jurisdiction. And that's, George is always looking for new locations for jurisdictions, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. We would like to see more of the events on your event calendar, if possible. We know that your residents probably visit your website a lot more than they're going to be visiting the county's website. If you have any news blasts or newsletters, if you would like us to provide you information to put on those newsletters, we'd be more than happy to on upcoming programs and things. Bill inserts, if there's an opportunity for us to do a bill insert and to print the inserts and put them in your billing, we'd like to participate in something like that also. And our news releases. It's just really tough getting the information out. I could have picked up over, you know, out on the western end of the county, but in the Coachella Valley of the Desert Sun, I just really haven't quite broken the crust there. And I have to go through my the county's public information officer, and he likes to send them out at a certain time, so I like to get them out early, but maybe not for him. The workshop locations. We're always looking for new locations for the workshops. We're looking for free meeting rooms where there wouldn't be a rental fee. This, matter of fact, this workshop here that we did in the city of Riverside, that was at one of the local parks, and it worked out really well. We had really good attendance there. We need workshops or meeting locations that would be available on Saturdays at 9 o'clock. We usually come in at 9 o'clock to set up our materials. Workshop starts at 9. We're finished by noon, and then we like to make sure that we have some time left over to do cleanup. The workshops would need to accommodate 25 to 50 people in hopes that we can get our numbers up there again. We'd like to have, they need to have ample parking and free parking. Audiovisual equipment, our on-screen presentation, our workshop presentation is a PowerPoint presentation. So it's difficult to do it in a garden, but we could do it in a garden. We also do the presentation in English and in Spanish. So if there's a location out in Coachella, we've been able to do the presentation in English and in Spanish out there. Tables and chairs, and restrooms if possible. This image here is of our Make Your Own Worm Bin class. In 2017, we'd like to kind of expand some of our opportunities. We've had a lot of residents in the Coachella Valley that has expressed an interest in the vermicomposting class or the Make Your Own Worm Bin class. But for them to drive to our location in Moreno Valley, it's a long distance and difficult for them to make. As much as they want to make it, that usually something comes up at the last minute and they can't make it out there. And the reason why we have it just in Moreno Valley is because we're drilling and we're making a little bit of a mess. So we can pretty much clean up everything at the end of the workshop, but there would need to be a little bit of wiggle room on leaving, you know, sometimes when we're drilling into plastic, there's little pieces of plastic that we may not be able to capture at the end. But this workshop, you know, it's only about 2.5 hours long, and we'd love to bring it out here to the Coachella Valley. Maybe, you know, anybody who's interested in having us there. The class is free. Again, the residents are just, they bring their own container, whether it's a couple of five-gallon buckets or a storage container like that. And then they get to make their own bin. For that, again, we're looking for a free meeting room. For it to be available on Saturdays from 9 to 2. And the extra cleanup time is just so in case we do have to really clean up a mess, we have time to clean it up. We need it to accommodate 25 to 50 people. I think for that one, we would probably just do one class to start off with to make sure everything.
Yeah, we would limit the participation to 28. Mm-hmm.
And then we also have our volunteers that are there for that. We have quite a few volunteers to help us with that. We are working with power tools, and we want to make sure everybody's safe and not gluing their fingers with the hot glue guns. Again, parking, audiovisual. First part of the class is a presentation on how to care for the worms. Tables and chairs. And then for this one, we actually need water. And access to the water so that we could moisten the newspaper for the worm bedding, and also restrooms. We're looking at expanding our program volunteer opportunities. We found that there's a lot of training that goes into training our master composters, and there's a lot of people that want to actually volunteer more, but maybe don't need to have all that background information. So we're looking at expanding our program in 2017 and doing more training of people that can kind of walk on and just train them on the benefits and limitations of the programs that we've got, our household hazardous waste collection program, community cleanup programs, impact programs. We've got several programs. We want to share that information with them, a little bit about solid waste background and the landfill, but just train them to be a general volunteer who could help and sit tables or hand out information instead of being the full trained master composter. It does take a bit of dedication for that. But the volunteer orientation training would be where we probably go to different areas of the county. Probably we'd like Moreno Valley is our base, but maybe have a place out here in the Coachella Valley where we can do an orientation and get some volunteers trained that could maybe set tables at the farmers markets or local community events where we don't have to come out and set up a whole kit and caboodle, but they have the program information to share with the local residents. But anyway, Coachella Valley and then also in the South County areas are target for that. And that, again, is probably 2017. The orientation we figure is going to be about an hour to an hour and a half presentation, so we would need meeting rooms probably in the evening or on Saturdays. We'll come out and do the orientation training with the volunteers on Saturdays. Accommodate maybe 25 to 50 people. I really don't know how often we would need the meeting rooms, but we... After we start getting some response from the local residents that want to become volunteers, we'll see how that goes. Ample parking space, audio-visual equipment for a PowerPoint presentation, and tables and chairs, and restrooms. Not always have restrooms. Our master composter certification training locations, possibly something in the fall, but these are going to be the master composter long-term. You know, it's like a six-week training program, or depending on whether we have it in the evening during the week or on Saturdays is going to determine how long those training programs are. But this is going to be actually one where we're building bins, and you can see this is a slide from one of our training classes where we're getting down there with them and actually showing them different things that they're looking for in the material as it's breaking down. And you can see around them, there's not a lot of garbage and green waste and things. Most of the materials are contained in the bins. But it's a good way for us to train these volunteers for all the different things that they may see in a pile by actually having it there and built. And we've had some volunteers that came from the Coachella Valley all the way out to Moreno Valley for training, but very few, and it was difficult for them to stick with the program. Part of it is because we didn't have a lot of outreach activities out here in the Coachella Valley, so we're always looking for opportunity to participate in community events. And that concludes my program. And if you have any questions, you can contact me or George about maybe offering a location for workshops or for training. Yes?
Do you guys use social media at all?
We're just starting to. There was between the department and the public information officer for the county, there was a lot of hesitation in doing social media. But we've got a new person in there was a little crack in the dam, and she's working her finger in it, and she's hot on. But she's you know, baby steps right now. Is that mostly how you do all your outreach?
Yes, we've been quite successful with getting that information out. And I know I was on vacation during your last workshop, and I usually push, but I didn't want to push and then go out of town and
right.
Not have someone to follow up with you folks. So, but I think that would benefit.
Is that working better out here than news releases?
It's picking up. We have a staff member at CBAG now that came in from the Desert Sun, and she's big on the social media stuff, and she's been helping us all adjust and pushing us forward with the social media aspect of advertising, and it's been positive.
Yeah, I definitely think it's the way to go, because they're, you know, the residents and those people that are receiving the message, they've got that implied agency that they, you know, that not implied agency, mm-hmm. but they have confidence in the organization.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would make a recommendation that maybe you send a list of all the things that are upcoming through your department. Send them to Benjamin, and then he can send them out to the cities, and we can either put them on our links to our web on our websites, put them on our Facebook or whatever media we have, and so each city can take a look at that and figure out how they can best help promote those programs through their own resources.
Would that be better in like a news release form?
No.
So that you could take it and send it from there, or just...
If you have a news release, then send it. But what I'm saying is if you have a link to something, provide us the link.
Or
provide
a calendar that we can just post.
And we need different formats depending on how we're going to promote it. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so more like the link to the PDF.
Because we could use the PDF. We could click on it and bring it down and print it out where we needed it. But we need the link, and we need a list of whatever you have going that you want to promote.
Okay, that would be easy to do.
And I would say another thing for the desert, a lot of times, like KMIR and some of those, a lot of times they look for people to come out. It's pretty early, but they look for community things that are going on. They'll interview you, but you have to be out here early in the morning probably.
So
if you have something going on and you want to promote it in this area?
KMIR?
KMIR, KSQ, the different stations and stuff. You could just call around.
Day of the event?
The day of or the day before. Whatever their schedule is, I don't know. You'd have to call them and talk to them about it. And if they have an opening, they would make arrangements with you to come out at whatever time to the station. Or they could meet you out at a certain site and do a little on-site interview.
Yeah, they did a really good story for our used tires mm-hmm. last year, and it helped a lot. It helped boost participation. It was really good.
And a lot of times, even the local radio stations, they have talk, you know, like a talk show kind of thing going on. Mm-hmm. They look for people to come in and talk to them. It's another way. But you have to be here. You have to be present. I mean,
yeah.
The press releases are almost, I hate to say it, like sometimes a thing of the past. Especially for the Daily Sun, because they only print, let's say, through Saturday.
I have to agree on that. It's even the ones that we're getting, you know, that do get published, it's so far in between. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of information that's in the press release towards, you know, to the point of boring.
Yeah.
But I do, if I can send the links to the PDFs, because PDFs have all the load limitations and because... Especially for like our hazardous waste program, there's different limitations for that, and then also for the composting one. I think it's got the information that it needs.
All right. Does the College of the Desert, are you guys doing any partnering with the College of the Desert? I know they have like this landscape program, and I believe that this would fit with what they're doing out there as well.
You know, I'm coming out on Saturday for a preschool conference at the College of the Desert. It's, you know, kind of a weird mix how we're getting pulled into that, but I'm liking what I've seen so far, the responses from the preschool facilities, and I understand that the College of the Desert has a really nice preschool facility along with a community, I don't know if it's a community garden, but it is a garden there associated with the preschool, so I'm looking forward to that on Saturday so I can see what opportunities there are where we can partner. So that would be good.
You might want to call over and speak with Kurt Leuchner. He is very proactive in a lot of the environmental things that are going on over there.
Leuchner?
Leuchner or something. Something like that. I'd have to get the name for you.
That's okay. I'm going to find it.
Any more questions?
I was just going to tell, for one of your facilities, we have the Portola Community Center where we open up the conference rooms to community use. You would have to clean up. I believe that they have a vacuum cleaner there and stuff, and there's water, there's facilities. You can call over, speak with Sophia, and see if you could schedule something, and that might work. It's inside.
This last weekend provided us a challenge because of the possibility of rain.
Yeah.
So we did our make your own warm bin class, and we had to actually move it inside.
Okay.
And all the mess that was made was cleaned up. And it was,
well, and pretty soon out here it's going to be hot, so you're not going to get a lot of people on the outside either.
Yeah.
So, and I was 568-2511, or it's 568-9697. I always get that one mixed up with the San Pablo Community Center.
Got it.
Hold on here, let me look it up.
Sophia.
Yeah. I'm sorry, completely. 568-2560.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Hopefully something can be worked out.
Yes.
Thank you, Janet.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is the youth oil program resolution, and that will be by Hugo Valerio and Haley Kuhnert, and we're not going to be able to vote on this today, but please feel free to give an update.
Okay. Thank you for having us. My name is Eva Valerio, and this is Haley Kinner. We're going to provide a quick Youth Oil Program update on what we've done so far.
Okay. So I'm here again. And so far we've had the drawing contest winner ceremony. We're at the first event, which was at the Coachella Auto Zone. It was on the second, and all three of the winners came out. And the first place winner was awarded a bicycle, and then the other two winners were given some awesome prizes. The Cathedral City donated some really huge lunch bags and backpacks. Also, we're doing some additional advertising this year with the utility bills from Coachella, and then those reached out to 8,700 residents, and then also the trash bills in Palm Springs. We've also been working with Erica from CVAC on Facebook, and we've reached out to a bunch of different pages, such as police departments, different city pages, Visit La Quinta, the Coachella Valley page. We've also been visiting some local Starbucks and just putting some flyers up when we happen to stop by in the Starbucks. So far we've had four events, Coachella, Desert Hot Springs, Cathedral City, and this week, past weekend also La Quinta. And so far we've collected 761 filters and about 1,200 gallons of oil. And we have three more upcoming events. First one in Blythe on May 14th, and then Palm Springs on the 21st, May 21st, and then Coachella again on the 22nd.
And we have this five-year oil resolution coming up. It's expiring on June 26th, and we recommend CVAC to approve it before June 30th in order to apply for the new oil payment program application. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question. Who do you guys use to actually run the event for you?
So far, this year we're using 5 AutoZone and 2 already.
Okay, so you go to the site, so they collect it. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is the single-use bottles and cups ordinance discussion.
So this is something that Michelle sent to me and asked me to put on the agenda for discussion. The quick little background is the city of San Francisco had passed an ordinance to actually ban single-use bottles and cups at their municipal facilities. With the exception of like running events and stuff like that where you actually absolutely need it. But Michelle wanted me to open it for discussion to see what our thoughts were on following some kind of similar ordinance with each of our cities or through the Coachella Valley. So what do you guys think? Does that sound like something that...
I think that's a real political hotbed.
It is. I mean, after I going through the plastic bag...
It's a good thing, but...
I think I like it, but after doing the plastic bags, I mean, there's just such an inherent pushback from people who feel like they're losing their freedom that it's a tough way to reduce waste.
Yeah.
When you say single-use bottles...
Just the normal, typical...
Like a 16-ounce bottle.
Yeah, those little packs that you buy, 12 or 24 packs, and hand them out left and right.
Okay.
Those are the bottles we're talking about. And single-use cups, too, that are talking like for coffee cups and stuff like that.
And again, I think that'd be great because especially the styrofoam ones, you can't recycle them. There's really nothing you can do with them. They just go straight to the landfill. Mm-hmm. But I just don't know if this is something that I could get enough support behind me to avoid an ordinance.
Who's doing it again?
San Francisco.
Have they already approved it?
They've already approved it.
See, they're so proactive up there. They have the will, the political will to do it. I mean, like...
Well, and they have the huge bay that's getting polluted,
right.
And that's
right.
Like a huge
and the residents
up
there, it's a different... I think it's a great thing. I just think if we take it on, it's going to be...
a bear.
For us, I'm sure it would probably have to be something that's more something we join on a region basis, maybe.
So I guess for now we can just...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it has to be regional, I think. Just like the plastic bags, it became more of a...
Yeah. I guess we'll just keep following along and watching how it develops. And see what pushback they get from San Francisco.
I wonder if you could put something to the... the executive committee and just... You know, maybe we make a recommendation to get a feel from them. I mean, because you know, they say, yeah, let's look at it. That'll tell you whether you want to move on.
Hey, you want to come make that presentation? No. I'll discuss with Katie too. She's my boss. So
yeah.
See how she feels about it too. I met her about this discussion, so.
Maybe we should, I mean, it's probably worth putting it back on the next agenda. Maybe we should just take it back and mull it over and
more information.
Get a feel from our own respective staff and stuff before we make a definitive.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's all this is for, is open discussion.
Yeah.
Get a vibe.
Well, we got the vibe.
Thank you, Ben. The next item is the Waste No Food Act. And again, Ben?
Yep, this is another thing that Michelle, my CN, wanted me to inform you guys. It's this flyer that was sent out with the agenda packet. She wanted to just make you guys aware of this app and hopefully sign up for it, that you guys could use it. It's just an app that you, if you have extra food or even if you want to donate food, you'll sign in, tell them when and where they can pick up these sandwiches or whatever that you want to donate, fruit, and then they'll distribute it to the needy, the people who need it. They already have a lot of clientele, I guess, where they can distribute it.
Well, this says,
this exact example is they're focusing on San Jose, but...
Who does it here, though?
I don't know if they would... assign somebody in the Coachella Valley, or if they would just take our food out there to where they already hooked up.
It would be something like this that we would have to kind of support and start growing here. But yeah. I have met with Andrew from Cal Recycle, and we talked a little bit about their mandatory organics recycling bill that's passed. And one of the things that he talked about was the hierarchy of what they wanted to do, and doing things like this, like using the food, getting it donated, sending it to a food bank on the Cal Recycle hierarchy is what they would like to see done before it gets composted. So, Andrew, if you would like to jump in, please feel free. And
sure. As you know, April 1st, I guess we can officially welcome all city representatives to the era of organics. That is... The Valley is now, every city is due to recycle organic. And it's a pretty exciting time. It's the way we're going to address the final stage of the organic sector and the waste stream. It's about 35 to 40% of the current waste is organic material. And we need the city's help. The haulers have done a fantastic job supporting the cities in this collection. CalRecycle recognizes that there are some hurdles. While food banks are a priority for food waste before composting, of course, we're going to need a lot more processors to handle the material as we collect much more. Assembly Bill 901 is some legislation that will provide CalRecycle with some enforcement authority on the current disposal reporting. This will help us to accurately measure the collection of the material. Another law coming into effect, Assembly Bill 876, is with regards to compostable organics infrastructure and initiating a conversation on the local level as far as planning for the additional growth and determining and identifying areas for either expansion efforts on current processing locations or new efforts and new development in the coming years. All this would be required to be reported on within the annual report, of course. And another effort is as far as the organics era is limiting alternative daily cover green material. This is AB 1594, where that would no longer be counted as diversion, and locals must plan for alternative means, probably typically composting. And, you know, we're 3/4 away, 9 months from going down to 4 cubic yards of organic waste for local businesses that generate such. I believe that this area has done a great job in identifying those generators of organics. The restaurants are covered, and I think the second push will be College of the Desert was mentioned. It would be the schools, would be the conventions that come through town, these small, medium-sized venues and events that might not have the time or the resources to speak with the locals and divert the excess materials for that one weekend of such an event. So that's going to be a priority coming through. And what this means is, by 2020 and the 75% goal, we're going to need to divert 23 million tons yearly to meet that. I don't think it'll happen without proper planning of infrastructure and expansion of current infrastructure. And the combination of both the hauler and processing power, as well as the redirection and reuse of this food, to meet the needs of the poor and needy. And as far as some demographics here, I'd like to congratulate the city of Coachella. This last year, on average, about 2.5 pounds of waste daily disposed. And alternatively, I'd like to just recognize Indian Wells. They've had about almost 10 pounds of waste disposed per day. And I mention this because, well, the poor tend to store their food and stretch it out longer, while the more wealthy tend to just I mention this because with the allocation and the distribution of said food banks, a lot in India, typically a bit more on the southern end, trying to understand the flow and where exactly we can utilize the material, typically from maybe those more dense restaurant-centered cities such as Rancho Mirage, Palm Springs, and kind of push that excess material down the road. Working with those local food banks, the current hurdle is identifying transporters of it. Excess food, and these apps are very convenient. Again, transportation is an issue. CalRecycle recently just expanded their efforts on cutting greenhouse gases by releasing some grant money on the GHG front. Vertec has taken some advantage of that, I believe, at the Victorville location. It's good to hear. We have now brilliant mesh on top of compost piles that decrease VOCs by 80%. So the air board's liking us a bit more on that front. And there has been rumors that the air board is trying to get 90% reduction in organics. And they have that conversation started, and I understand that it's picking up weight. So that's exciting to hear. I don't know how that would exactly pan out. But yeah, as far as organics, this town does fluctuate in population. It's very seasonal and drastic declines, of course. And I'm interested in identifying those food banks and similar programs that can reuse this food before it ultimately is deemed waste. And I think that's going to be the goal for CowRecycle and hopefully a priority for the cities in the next coming years.
I have a question. As far as the city is meeting their goals for their organics recycling, if we started this app and we got some of our facilities on board with the app, would that be compliant or somewhere count toward compliance as much as actually moving it into a compost facility?
Yeah, that would, in my book, go above and beyond. Currently, compliance is determined as simply as diverting the material. But within that diversion conversation, that priority one would be reuse. And so I would, CowRecycle would support such a endeavor to make sure that happens.
Okay, so this would actually be a way for us to meet that that mandate. This could, possibly.
It would assist in meeting, again, having a food waste diversion program already in place is...
Right.
Is key. And the 4 cubic yards of waste coming up in 2017, January of next year, and that threshold is met or is enacted, CowRecycle is relying on those identified restaurants, those identified generators, and also trying to have a better understanding of the backhauling of such organic material. Exactly how much are those large businesses backhauling, if at all? And that will assist in understanding the flow of material. And again, with the onset of 901 and AB 876, that's what we're trying to lean towards, is exactly planning for the increase of the collected material, the planned processing of the collected material. So I think it's a very exciting time. As you know, hunger is a serious issue that's not captured in the media in our nation. And I think this is a very good way, very exciting to be a part of it, and hopefully meet those needs in this valley. I have some additional material that will go over this, and we'll be happy to pass this out. Thank you.
The bills that he was referring to, did you write those down?
So 876 and 80901.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe we need to create a list and call this organization and find out if they're operating here and if so, how it's working. But maybe we can call like Hidden Harvest, some of the other organizations that are out there.
We have Fine Food Bank in here. I'd be happy to give them a call. And CBR and G.
But we have to figure out which ones actually will pick up. We have them. And some of them are only geared to take certain types of foods or certain can't. So we need to call the ones that we know of and find out how their operation works and if they could fit in something. That's something we need to.
Yeah, ideas of transportation. The GHG grants are set up that will hopefully address some of that issue. Applicants can pursue that.
That'd be nice.
We're also doing, I think money is able to be used for the ag district. You know, they have typically two conveyor belts in the field, one for the A++ or the AAA rating of produce, and anything below that is on is applied to the second conveyor belt for trash, essentially. And I understand some of this GHG money could go forth for a third conveyor belt, that which collects the B+, A- produce, collects it, packages it, and gets it to the needy. And CalRecycle will support the financing of, you know, said resources in order to make that happen. So reuse before diversion is our hierarchy, and look forward to seeing how that increases over the next few years.
Are those grants open now?
Yeah, the GHG money was released first. Last cycle one was last year, 2015. We're currently, I believe, cycle two is going to be specified in that packet, and go from there.
Right, thank you.
Uh-huh.
So we should try with the mm-hmm. Benjamin.
We need a food mobile. Next item is the legislative update from HF&H. Are there any legislative updates?
That used to be something Debbie Morris used to.
Thank you. Next meeting of the Solid Waste and Recycling Technical Working Group will be July 11, 2016.
Unless we need to vote on
we need a special meeting.
So we'll
for that.
Send out a notice when we can determine when the next meeting should be.
Okay.
We don't know. We'll have to look at the calendar so far, and we'll send out maybe a couple of available dates to see what works for everybody.
All right. Thank you. And I believe that's it. If anybody has anything else, then we'll move to adjournment.